Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Pastor Eli James Hiller, along with Pastor Steve, and tonight is Yahweh's Covenant People for July 15th, 2016. And boy, what a month it has been, with black-on-white violence and Muslim-on-white violence occurring everywhere, all over the world. And the Jews are just yucking it up, right? However, the latest two incidents, namely the one in Dallas and now the one in Nice, France, aren't happy about these, because this is so blatantly obvious Muslim and black on white violence that they can't excuse it. There's no way to excuse it, and you can't blame it on whitey. Not in these two cases. Simply can't do it. So
no cover up possible.
No cover up possible. And Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama are going to have to spin the news all different kinds of ways and sideways to blame whitey on those two incidents. Folks, we're getting ready for a race war. It's just a matter of time.
Now wait a minute. The people in Nice were violently standing in front of that truck up on the sidewalk.
They shouldn't have been
up on that sidewalk now.
Right.
Now,
right.
Come on. It was all their fault.
And they shouldn't have been
on the sidewalk. Aren't trucks supposed to drive up on the sidewalk?
Right. And they shouldn't have been celebrating Bastille Day. That's a no-no.
That's a white holiday. That's
yeah,
racist.
Right. That's right. It was a racist holiday. Therefore, it's the whitey's fault. There you go. All right. Yeah. No. But I haven't heard of CNN or ABC or NBC try that angle yet. The news, the mainstream news, is so ridiculous. It's amazing, and it's so blatantly skewed and anti-white and pro-black and pro-non-white. It's just unbelievable. But anyway, enough of that. I'm going to be talking more about. I'm going to devote tomorrow's show, Restoration Hour, to that topic. But today, here on Yahweh's Covenant People, we're going to be talking about the origin of the word Jew and related matters, and how it affects the King James Version in our Bibles. And it has a lot
per version.
Yeah, per version. The King James per version of our so-called Bibles. And, I think we in Identity, Pastor Steve, probably spend more time on word studies than all other denominations combined.
Well, we have to. We have to debunk all these myths that these other people the church of what's happening now puts out.
The church of what isn't happening now. They're not doing anything except repeating the same old lies that have been purveyed for the last 100 years or so, and none of it has any significance whatsoever. This is folks, we're living in a world where lies are attempting to totally take over the truth, and they have largely succeeded. But
that's because the truth is so dangerous to these people. They're
right.
Like cockroaches when you flip a light on in the kitchen in a tenement house someplace. They all go scuttling for the darkest spot.
That's right. Maggots do the same thing. So, as I recently found out when I opened a neighbor's garbage can, it was full of maggots that it fled from the sunlight. So, anyway, this is an ongoing situation, and it's going to get worse. There's no doubt it's going to get worse, because the left, the political correct, the Jews, none of the organized religions are doing anything about it whatsoever. They're making it worse because this is a war against whitey. That's all it is, and as long as we have a war against whitey and it's not being reported, I think I've said many times on several shows that the race war will not be televised. It will not be reported because it's not being reported as a race war. They're still trying to invent ways to blame whitey, as we have just demonstrated. Okay, it was Bastille Day, white people's celebration. How dare they have a white racist celebration in Nice, France? So it's got to be whitey's fault. Okay, this is the world we're dealing with. Now, on this origin of the word Jew, and I'm going to, for those people who are in the chat room, I'm going to copy, Control C, this article, and post it into the chat room. We're just going to have to get used to this. Folks, if you haven't been to our chat room yet, it's at the main website, yourfolkradio.com, and go to Radio Listen Live, and right under the Radio Listen Live, you see a bunch of little icons, and there's one that looks like a little blue. It's a little blue balloon, and that balloon is the link to the chat room. So just go in there. You can declare your choose a chat room name, or enter anonymously, or just enter a name for the day. You can join in those three ways. And on the bottom there's a chat box where you can type your message. And I see Pastor Steve has said howdy, brother. And one Israelite has logged in saying good evening, fellow Israelites. Yeah, that's right. And I just posted the link to this article, which I have to go back to it now. And I don't know if I have the ability to split screens at the moment. I'll try real quick. Give me 1 second.
I tried that once. I had to buy a new computer screen. and that hatchet's a little rough on them there.
Yeah, right, right. It's not working for me, so I'm going to have to flip back and forth between the two. But anyway, this article from Overlords of Chaos, which is an identity website. I'm not sure who runs it. By the way, I'm really encouraged by the increase in the number of identity slash white nationalist slash white self-defense websites that are coming up. And even the older ones used to be kind of soft on race have now become really tough on race, which is really good. It means that they're waking up. Okay, yeah, like Red buddy. Ice. Like Red Ice. Red Ice never used to talk about race. They used to couch, kind of like Alex Jones, couching things in terms of the conspiracy. And they might talk about the Rothschilds every once in a while, but kind of overlook race. In fact, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock did an interview with Red Ice, and they refused to broadcast it because Andrew was talking so much about race, right? And so this was about a year and a half ago. Now they don't hesitate talking about race. So it's become so obvious that race matters.
Well, they've ignored the 800-pound gorilla in the living room long enough, and it's been defecating all over their house.
Right.
And it stunk it up so bad they really can't ignore it.
That's right.
I'm sorry, but y'all been soft pedaling this for a long time.
Yeah.
And we've been warning you, and now you see it. It's picking up. The Ahab the Arab is coming to your neighborhood.
Yeah. And by the way, I'm glad you mentioned that, because Your Folk Radio is the first news service in the planet, in the whole world, that identified the name of the Tunisia truck driver as a, I'm sorry, the Nice truck driver as a Tunisian Arab, Muslim. And the networks have been hesitant to identify him because they, as we were saying, they've been trying to find a way to blame it on Whitey. No.
Well, they're following in our footsteps. When we shove it in the public's face like that and it's outed here,
yeah,
they don't really have enough any choice.
Right. Well, because somebody's already...
they don't deserve a choice.
Right. Yeah. So we're scooping the mainstream media in so many ways because we always know where to look. Right. And CNN and ABC are always trying to cover the tracks of the Jew. But we know if the crime has been committed, we find the Jew responsible. And it's just that simple. Or in this case, it's an Arab or a black, you know, who is attacking white people and who are nothing but Jew proxies. You know, so we understand what's going on in the world. And obviously the Jews and, the liberals and the communists are all spinning the news, trying to prevent the truth from coming out. But anyway, under the heading Origin of the Word Jew, and I'm just going to go ahead and read here and go ahead and feel free to jump in and comment at any point. And the author states, Many people suffer under the misapprehension that Jesus was a Jew, and he puts that in quotation marks. Moreover, that he was king of the Jews. Thus, by inference, that the Jews were the chosen people of the Holy Bible, and so ancient possessors and modern inheritors of the Bible covenants gifted by Yahweh, I like the fact that they use the term Yahweh, to their forebears, Abraham, Jacob, and Judah. However, this is not the case. In fact, during Christ's mission and passion, no such people existed called Jews, nor indeed did the word Jew. In short, Jesus was not a Jew, nor was he king of the Jews. Now, it just stands to reason. If the word did not yet exist, he couldn't have been one, right? Nor could he have been the king of them, since that word did not exist. Now here, let's talk about what's, first of all, the difference between what's in the King James translated as Jew in the Old Testament. Where does the term come from? That's an incorrect, I agree with this author 100%. It's an incorrect translation. But absolutely. In the Old Testament, what's the word and how should it be translated?
The Judahite, actually, yes. It's Yehudi. It's Yahudi.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And those who Yahudim is plural. Those who praise Yah, because the original name of Judah is Yahuda. Yah be praised, because his mother praised Yahweh for giving her a son. When she called his name Yahuda.
Okay. Steve, lower your mic just a hair. You're coming out scratchy when you're real loud, okay?
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
So Yahuda means Yahweh be praised, and that's the name of the patriarch Judah, as we call him Judah. Now Yehudi, now the reason why Yehuda or Yehud, there's different pronunciations depending on which Bible concordance.
Okay?
Yes, that's good. Okay. Which Bible concordance you pick, but nevertheless, the fact is there was no J in the Hebrew language, so that's why it's pronounced Yehud, Yehuda, Yuda, Yehudi, etc., etc. It's never pronounced with a J.
A lot of that in the translations is due to the tampering of the Jews to remove the holy name of Yahweh from all the names. They didn't just do it to Yehuda. They did it to all the names that contain Yah.
Yeah. Well, didn't they change that to Jehovah? Jehovah?
No, that was
how did
the
they
Russellite.
Do that?
That was the Russellites that did that.
The Russellites. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Jehovah's Witnesses.
Oh, okay. Jehovah. Well, didn't the Jews, though, didn't they tamper with the name of
Yahweh? No, that was a Roman Catholic scribe that put the vowel points of Adonai under the Tetragrammaton, and they came up with Yehovah.
Okay. Yehovah.
And they anglicized it to Jehovah.
Okay. All right. But
because the Jews said, you can't pronounce that name. It's too holy. Only the high priest once a year can whisper that.
Right. Now, it's interesting that most of the white race languages, like German, and I don't know about French, but I think French has a softer J that's kind of in between a J and a Y. But most of the Latin, Spanish, Norwegian, except for English and French, don't have this hard J. They usually have a Y or a very soft.
No, in Spanish, it's Jesus.
Oh, it's H in Jesus, yeah. So, yeah.
Jesus, yeah.
But even in Celtic, it's a Y. Jesus, okay? That's how they pronounce it. And it's obviously based on the Hebrew and Aramaic Yahshua and Yeshua, which, of course, there was no J in Aramaic either. So,
Aramaic is only different due to the Masoretic vowel points for pronunciation. It is always Yahshua. Mm-hmm. Because the name Yah, and anybody that's only in the dictionaries where they have Yeshua.
Right. Yes. Okay.
It is Yahshua, because Yah is salvation, and he came in the form of Yahshua.
Right.
So therefore, Messiah. It should always be Yahshua, regardless of what's in books.
Right.
We're going to have to ignore a lot of these right. mistranslations, Eli.
Right. And Yah is obviously the name of the Father, and Shua means salvation. So it means Yahweh
means
saves.
Yes, yeah.
Yahweh
Shua
saves.
Salvation, okay. Yes.
And absolutely. as we discussed a couple of shows ago on Bloodlines, the English word Jesus, being a transliteration of the Hebrew/Aramaic, does not convey the meaning of Yahshua. It simply does not convey that meaning. All right, it's really an attempt to provide a Greek spelling for a Hebrew word. Not an attempt to define the word, but the Hebrew has an exact definition, and neither the Greek or the English, or actually any of the modern versions of Jesus or Jesus, has an inherent meaning. It's just a transliteration of the spelling from the Hebrew.
And a mighty poor one at that.
Yes, right. Yeah. Okay, in fact, Jesus is referred to, now this author uses the word Jesus. In fact, Jesus is referred to as a Jew for the first time in the New Testament in the 18th century. In the revised 18th century English language editions of the 14th century first English translations of the New Testament, the etymology of the word Jew is quite clear. Etymology means the origin and development of the word. Okay, how did the word come into being? Although Jew is a modern conception, its roots lie in the 3rd and 4th centuries A.D. That is, the modern English word Jew is the 18th century contraction and corruption of the 4th century Latin Judaeus, found in St. Jerome's Vulgate edition and derived from the Greek word Judaeos. We found that the translation, false translation, Jew, comes from Judah or Yehuda, and it should never have been translated as Jew ever, should it?
No.
No, it should have been.
That's a manufactured word when they started influencing publishers. I mean, they've been at this subterfuge and infiltration business, and I say business, for a long time. It has taken them centuries and centuries to get to this point.
Right.
And they were stymied in Europe because people got so tired of their malicious usury and their vicious business practices, they kicked them out a couple of times.
Right. Well, Jew was probably created as a swear word for those
people,
there, right?
Well, it's another attempt. It's one of their ongoing lies to steal our birthright.
Right. So, but what I think the reason why we're doing this, because the word Jew should never be equated with the word Judah or Judahite or Yehudi or any of those words, because the Jewish people are not related to Judah. But when you stick the word Jew in the Old Testament in place of Judah, then it creates the false impression in the reader's mind. Oh, they must be the same people.
It's a subliminal message they do on television. Oh, Jew, they must mean Judah.
Yes, okay, yeah. They must mean that, right? But
don't. Yeah, like Gentile means non-Jew, doesn't it?
Right, that's what
we're
told.
That's what they've changed a word. They put that word in and then changed the definition of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And they keep changing the definitions.
They put in heathen and Gentile instead of nations. Speaking either of the Israelite nations,
right,
all of those that came through the Caucasus Mountains, the Caucasian people, and were all over the world. We're in South Africa, North America.
Right.
a lot of us in South America, the British Isles, Denmark, Germany, France, White Spain, the Dutch, Netherlands?
They're all Israelites. Yes, they're all Israelites.
The Danish? They're from tribe of Dan.
Well, what about Jutland? Remember that Danish peninsula?
Yeah, Jutland. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Was that Jews or was that Judahites?
That's Judahites.
There you go.
Well, I'm a Judahite because I'm Scottish and German.
Uh huh.
And both nations are from Yehuda.
Amen.
We're the warrior tribe. The Scots are warriors, and the Germanic people are warriors. We're the lion of the desert. Right there.
Okay. Now, so I think we've dealt fairly well with the Hebrew origin of the Judahites, which are not to be confused with Jews. A Jew is a concoction which the Jews used to confuse everybody because they're Edomites, at least in the Old Testament times, and even in New Testament times, they're Edomites, Canaanites, and Kenites.
It's not even, honestly, it's not even fair to designate them anymore as Edomites, truly, because they are such a racial soup,
right?
That Edom has become polluted, and Edom was bad
if
enough.
That's possible, right?
But when they mixed with the Canaanites, that had mixed with the seed of Cain, they got the satanic seed line,
right?
And now they're all mixed together. You can't differentiate.
Right.
You can't pick them out. And the Cainy, the tribe of Cain, just disappeared because they were absorbed into the rest of the Canaanites, including Edom. They're all one great big group of Mamzers.
Right. Yeah, motley crew. Yeah, motley crew of Mamzers.
Mongrels.
Right. So we actually, but now that word Jew, therefore. The proper use of that word is to describe these mongrels, not the pure-blooded tribe of Judah, right? Isn't that what the point we're trying to make here?
That's the whole point. But it was put in subterfuge to confuse the people that didn't have access to the scripture, and it was preached from the pulpit like it is today because they infiltrated the religions. And the serpent is a subtle adversary. And this is how he works. And we're talking about the seed of the serpent here, the Nakash, and those are the fallen angel. And he is a liar and the father of lies. And this is one of his subtle lies, the very invention of this non-word. And that's what it is. Uh-huh. It's a non-word that's been made a word by absolutely covering everything with publicity and propaganda.
Yes.
It's been made into something when it was nothing.
Yeah, and it certainly can't be used, since it's a modern word, it certainly can't be used to describe the pure-blooded Judahites or any of the tribes of Israel. Because the Jewish people have never been a pure-blooded people. They've always been a mixed-race multitude. So
it's
two totally different designations, okay? And then he continues, the modern word Jew is the 18th-century contraction of corruption found in St. Jerome's Vulgate Edition and derived from the Greek word eudaios. Okay, so now what's the difference between the Greek eudaios and the Hebrew Yehuda?
Oh, big difference. Yehuda describes a specific people that are of one tribe of the 12 tribes of Israel. And their surrounding, and that same word is used for the territory that was their inheritance. And along with Binyamin, they were sort of known as one tribe because Binyamin was so small because a lot of them were killed.
Benjamin,
for messing with the Israelites, with the Midianites, who were pagans. They weren't originally pagans, but they had become pagans, and they wanted to mix with them, and they were sexual crimes. And that's when Phinehas, ran the spear through the two of them, the beast with two backs.
right? Okay. Depending on how what position they were in, I assume you're saying.
but he spitted them with
right,
a javelin.
Yeah, right, with a javelin. Exactly. Yes.
And that was a righteous act because Yahweh lifted the plague after that.
Right.
Well, our plague today is the international banking crew. And they plague us all over the place, and they have provided the money for all this publicity. They have bought in, they own the Talmud Vision, they own most of the radio stations. That's why we're on the internet, because what we teach here, they would never allow on the radio.
That's right.
FCC would pull their license, their advertisers would stop advertising, they would bail real quick. The EFR posted this Tunisia migrant news on YouTube, and didn't YouTube pull it?
Three times. I had to find different versions of the similar videos, and every one of them was taken down. So they didn't want this information to come out.
Too late. EFR doesn't quit. We don't back off here.
That's right.
That's why I like EFR.
Amen.
And that's why I'm on it.
Amen. All right, so he continues. For example, two of the best-known 18th century editions of the New Testament in English are the Rheims-Douai edition, which is the Catholic version, and the King James Authorized edition, and both contain the word Jew. Yet, when the English language version of the Rheims New Testament was first printed in 1582, the word Jew did not appear in it. Similarly, the King James Authorized translation of the New Testament into English, begun in 1604 and first published in 1611, here too the word Jew did not appear. That is, the word Jew first appeared in both of these well-known editions in their 18th century revised versions. The combination of the Protestant Reformation and the publication of the revised English language 18th century editions and the printing press allowed unlimited quantities of the New Testament to be printed meant the wide distribution of these English language Bibles throughout the English-speaking world. And he continues, numerous copies of these revised 18th century English editions, especially the Rheims and King James translations, were distributed to the clergy and the laity throughout the English-speaking world. And so the new readers of these 18th century editions were introduced to a new word both to them and the English language, namely the word Jew. Now, let me read this next sentence. For these readers did not know the history of the origin of the English word Jew and accepted it as the legitimate modern form of the ancient Greek Judaeus and the Latin Judaeus and, by assumption, the Hebrew Judah. Right?
Also, in the first King James Version, they had the Apocrypha, and they pulled that.
That's right.
Too much information. Not good for them.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they also pulled the book of Jasher and Enoch and Jubilees and a bunch of other ones.
Right.
Because if they had those in with the others, what they were teaching would not coincide with what was in Scripture.
Yes. Well, he continues here. The original chroniclers used the Greek Judaeos to denote people who lived in Judea, that is, in English, for Judeans. Thus, Judea in Greek is, in English, Judea, while Judaeos in Greek is, in English, Judeans. So, singular and plural. Moreover, when the word Jew was first introduced by the redactors into the English language in the 18th century, they intended its one and only application was to denote Judeans and not Judah, right? Wouldn't that be correct that if you're going to use the word Jew at all?
If they used a non-word as a substitute for the original word and used it correctly and explained it to the people who were ignorant of the word, because it was a non-word. It never appeared before.
Right. Okay.
It was something they just put in there.
Right. So here's the difference between the Hebrew and Greek words. Judah is a designation for a racially segregated tribe of Adamic Judahites. Okay.
Yes.
And Judaeos, the Greek word, is anybody that lives in a particular territory in the vicinity of the city of Jerusalem, irregardless of race or tribe or anything else, right? It's just a resident. So how can you, then you have the word Jew, which refers to both. So how can a single word, namely Jew, refer to a racially exclusive, unmixed people and a bunch of mixed people at the same time?
It can't.
It's ridiculous.
And was done deliberately because they want it to be confusing.
That's right. That's right.
This was their plan. This was their modus operandi.
Yeah. So it's actually a word that means one thing and its exact opposite, namely the pure-blooded tribe and the mixed Mongol race of Edomites, which they were at the time. Mm-hmm. All right? So it's two radically different meanings combined into one word. It's absolutely ridiculous. It's like combining green and red into green-red or red-green, right? It's ridiculous. But if you don't know the etymology of the word, you never figure this out, okay? Now, the etymology, the word Jew is never regarded as a synonym for Judean, nor is Judean regarded as a synonym for Jew, but that is actually the correct. If there's one correct meaning for Jew, it would be Judean, which means that race-mixed, polyglot bunch of people that lived in the vicinity of Judea in those days. Right? That's about the only... It can't possibly mean pure-blooded Judah. Can't possibly mean that. And today's Jews are not that. So that's the only possible correct meaning as Judean from the Greek. He continues. The word has taken on a far different meaning, one wholly divorced from the original conception of the 18th century redactors. Yeah, today it's equated with Judah. God's, and they claim to be God's chosen people based on Jews being the equivalent of Judah, right? Isn't that how they fooled us?
Couldn't be further from the truth. But then again, they are the children of the father of lies,
right?
And
exactly.
they are thieves. They are trying to steal our birthright.
Yes. Okay. This is its secondary meaning, namely Judean, that has been carefully nurtured among the English-speaking peoples of the world by a secret power intent upon exploiting its ancient power of association. That's, that is by repetitive lies, power of association. This so-called secondary meaning for the word Jew has been assiduously cultivated during the 18th, 19th, and 20th centuries and bears no relation whatsoever to the 18th century original connotation of the word Jew. It has succeeded to such a degree that now most people in the English-speaking world cannot comprehend the true nature of the word Jew, its literal sense, and do not regard a Jew as a Judean. Okay, well, it's interesting that people don't understand that the word Jew actually derives from the word Judean, not from the word Judah. Mm-hmm. I think that's what the author is trying to say, but he's not being very clear about it. But the word Jew does not derive from the word Judah, simply does not. And the word Judah should never have been translated to Jew. Okay, and likewise, the word Judean should have been kept Judean as well. That way, you can always, if you juxtapose Judah with Judean, you immediately, the first one implies that racially pure tribe, and the second implies people living in around the vicinity of the Judea without regard to what tribe they belong to. Okay, they're just residents, people who live there. Okay, so that's the true difference between the two words, and you cannot treat those two very different words as if they had the same meaning. They do not.
They don't.
They don't, okay? So.
But they do it even though it's deliberate, but it's deliberately wrong, and they rely on that.
That's right, yeah. And the whole purpose, and now if this is confusing to you, that's the purpose, right? The purpose is to confuse you, but while they purvey the lie that they are God's chosen people, Israel, and the vast majority of them, they claim, are Judah, with the other 12 tribes having been pretty much disappeared, according to the Jews' version of reality, right? So, in other words, the Jews are the only representatives of the tribe of Judah left on the face of the earth. That is their claim, is it not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's their claim.
Yes, and there's not a word of truth to it.
But here I sit.
Yeah. Right?
Judah,
with your blue tzitzis, right?
With my tzitzit with a thread of blue.
Right. Right, because after you made that presentation, I actually happened to be in Viper territory, which is California and Devon in Chicago, and I actually saw a Jew walking around with his shirt having white tzitzis dangling from his shirt. I almost was tempted to ask, hey, why aren't those blue?
No, right? Just one thread.
Yeah.
Just one thread. That's
okay.
It.
Yeah. So, and your point when you were talking about was the Jews always distort whatever the Bible teaches. They cannot leave it alone. They must distort it in some way or another. So if the Bible says you have to have a blue thread, they'll deliberately avoid using a blue thread. Okay.
Yeah.
Just to distort it. I mean, they joy in distorting the Bible. Okay. All right.
Well, they don't go by the Bible. They go by the Talmud.
Right. Exactly. Right. So he says the modern English word Jew is a transliteration of an abbreviation or slang word coined by Babylonian conquerors for the enslaved Judeans without any due regard to the race or religion of the captives. This indiscriminate use of the word Jew to refer to the diverse mass of races and religions then resident in Judea is the application of an incorrect modern colloquial idiom without regard or recognition of the true and biblical meaning of the original words. Now here, we have to talk a little bit about the history here. Because when the Assyrians took the 10 northern tribes captive and placed them in, you know, northern Media, they also moved into the vacated land a bunch of Edomites, Babylonian Sephards, you know, various tribes totally unrelated to
all the people that they wanted to get rid of out of their territory.
Right. And they settled them there, and then they proceeded to use the Israelites as slaves and as buffer. They placed them on the perimeter of the Assyrian Empire so that invading tribes would have to deal with our ancestors. Okay, they would make our ancestors fight for them and be buffers in that sense. Okay, and the Israelites got tired of doing that, and that's why they crossed the Caucasus Mountains and left Assyria. Okay, well, the people that moved into the vacated territory were called Samaritans. And that's who the Samaritans originally were, as a polyglot group of people. Well, these are the ones who eventually became known as Jews, this polyglot people, not the tribe of Judah. Okay? And,
well, the Samaritans lived in Samaria.
Right.
And they had perverted the worship of Yahweh, and it was half Yahweh worship and half pagan idolatry. They worshiped both. They bowed down to their
right.
idols and Yahweh both.
Right.
And it says right in scripture that they do that to this day. Well, when they became perverted by, and easily perverted by the Babylonian Talmud, they just went off the the deep end. And they're not Yahweh worshipers. They weren't. They
yes,
were partial. But it's like the Judeo-Christian churches of today. They're partly, but not all the way. They've got Talmudism mixed in with their so-called
right.
Christianity.
That's right.
And if you paganize anything to do with Yahweh, it is no longer pure, and Yahweh will not hear your prayers. He will not accept it.
Right.
It is abomination.
Well, that's
you
why
you cannot mix lies with truth.
Yes.
And that's what the Jews do today. And a lot of our people are swallowing it hook, line, and sinker.
And that is why our nations are collapsing as we speak. Because our people are not following Yahweh's word. They're not obeying the law. And they believe in a Jewish Jesus. Right? Right. Now, he quotes Genesis 49:10. He says, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, of course, Judah is the correct translation of the Hebrew Yehud.
Okay, do you know what Shiloh means?
I believe it means the coming one.
No.
Okay.
To whom it belongs.
Oh, okay. The
that is the accurate translation of Shiloh.
Okay.
Until the scepter will not depart from Yehuda until to the one that it belongs to comes.
All right.
And that is Joshua.
Okay. All right. Well, that brings up an interesting point, but let me read on here, because he may not have the identity historicity that we understand. Let me continue reading here. But obviously, that's a reference to Yeshua. No doubt that it's a reference to Yeshua.
Oh, okay? Absolutely.
Who must be a pure-blooded Judahite. And since the Jews of the New Testament were a polyglot race mixed people, very few of them, if any, they might have had Judahite members in that polyglot group. But they were not, the group was not pure Judah and cannot be called Judah. That's why they're called Judeos, which is a term for a polyglot group of people. Okay? So, he says, the meaning of the word Jew, that's why Jesus said, I come not but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He didn't say, I come to be king of the Jews.
No.
He didn't say that. That's the term that Pilate, nailed on the stake above his head and elsewhere. And
it didn't mean king of the Jews, it meant king of Judea.
Right, it meant king of Judea. But even there, the rabbis, the Judeans, said, we don't like this title that you put up here. Take it down or rewrite it. And Pilate said, what I have written, I have written. Get out of here. Stop bothering me. Okay? So even there, and I think it's the Gospel of Matthew that says King of the Jews, as it's translated, was written up there mockingly. It's not to be taken seriously. Because
that's correct.
Who did Yahshua come for? Did he come for Israel, or did he come for the Judeans?
Came for Israel.
Yeah, not for the Judeans. That's why...
Well, that's like I say... All of Israel is of Adam, mm-hmm. but not all of Adam is of Israel. Well,
yes.
All of the tribe of Yehuda was from Yehuda, the area.
Yes.
But not all the people that were in the territory of Yehuda were of the tribe of Yehuda.
That's right. Or in Judea. Judea was a territory within which some Judahites lived and other Israelites as well. But you cannot
right.
equate the word Judean with Judah and or Israel. You cannot do that.
Nope.
Because it's a territorial word. It's not a racial tribal word, period. That's the difference, okay? All right, he continues. The meaning of the word Jew in the Bible is not the same as the commonly held modern view. It certainly doesn't mean that the people we call Jews today are certainly not the Judah of the Old Testament. I would, he tries to get more specific. In the Bible, the word Jew is meant to refer to a resident of the land of Judea. Moreover, it is a reference regardless of tribe, race, or religion. Anyone who was an inhabitant of Judea was a quote-unquote Jew and need not be a member of the tribe of Judah. Right?
Yeah.
And I would say anyone who's a mere resident of Judea cannot automatically be a member of the tribe of Judah. You have to dig, you have to find out if he is or not, or if she is or not. It's, you know, the word Jew, the word Judean cannot be assumed to mean Judah. Cannot be
correct.
Assumed at all. Okay.
They used the same word for the tribe of Yehuda
right.
as they
oh.
did for the territory of Yehuda.
Right, right.
They
right.
did not differentiate that, but you have to take it in context.
Right.
If they're speaking of the people of the territory and not specifically of the Israelite
right.
tribe of Yehuda.
Right. And I like to make a comparison to the modern word Indian. Because We applied that name to the American Indians, but not there's not Pastor Steve.
American Navit.
Yeah, Native. Yeah, natives, right. But not one of those tribes calls themselves Indians.
They're not Indians.
They're
Indians
not.
Indians are an Indian.
Yeah, right, exactly.
They're the indigenous tribes, the
right.
Native Americans.
So but what names do they go by? They go
all
by
have
their
different names.
Their tribal names. They go by their tribal names, not some made up word called Indian.
That's
right?
Correct.
They don't go by that word. It's only outsiders who use that word of them. They don't use that word of themselves.
Well, the same way the tribes of the Sioux, Sioux is a derogatory term from another tribe. They are the Lakota, the Dakota, and Nakota.
Okay.
They're three different sections of the same people, but they are not Sioux.
Right. That's an external term applied to them.
That's from another tribe, which was a derogatory term.
Right, right. Okay, now he continues. Now, Judah was the largest and most influential of the 12 tribes of Israel. I don't know if it was the largest, but one of the most influential. With the governing right whose sons were to provide the rightful kings of Israel. That is, they were the inheritors of the Bible covenants, but especially the Davidic covenant. Now, here's an important distinction between Judah and the Jews. Where are the Jewish kings? Where are the Jewish descendants of the line of David?
Well, you got Baron Rothschild. That's as close as you're going to get.
That's as close as they're going to get, right. No kingdom whatsoever. No scepter. No scepter, folks. That's the point of the author. The Jews do not possess the scepter. That's very important. He continues, in short, the chosen people of Yahweh, that is the true Judahites. However, Jacob prophesied, and he Genesis 49:10, which I just quoted about the scepter belonging to Judah, the tribe would only maintain its preeminence until Shiloh came, who would then assume headship and receive the allegiance of true spiritual Israel, as Isaiah 9:6-7 foretold. That is when the Messiah arrived. Okay, I think it's a little more complicated than he's arguing
here.
Well,
he uses the term spiritual Israel.
Right, yeah, that's
Israel. There is no spiritual Israel.
No.
You're either born Israel or you are not.
That's right. That's right. There's nothing spiritual about any of these prophecies, about any of these historical statements.
No,
okay?
You're not going to make a Negro or a Mexican or a Chinaman an Israelite.
Right. Now, did the coming of Messiah change the literal people of Israel and Judah, turn them into spiritual Israel? No, of course not. They remained physical people.
That's a church term. They invented all of that.
Right. Yeah. Now, but
because
then he says...
They want to enhance their collection plate.
All right. But I think what he's trying to say is that the scepter ended with the coming of Messiah at the first advent, but that's not true. We know it's not true.
Nope.
Because the scepter was transplanted to Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so
along with the Stone of Destiny.
Right, with the Irish and British kings, with the Germanic kings and the czars, all of them being direct descendants of David.
Yep.
So apparently this author is not aware of that. So the coming of Messiah, the first advent, only put an end to the scepter people in Judea, but not in Europe.
Yep, we all left.
Yes, most of our people left. And even the Judahites who became Christians also left when Titus took a break from assaulting Jerusalem and the temple. I think it was about a year that he actually held off assaulting the city and the temple because I think it was Tiberius died, and he was waiting for instructions from the new Caesar, whether the new Caesar would want him to continue the assault. Okay, so during that time of non-invasion, a lot of Judahites said, "Hey, let's get out while the getting's good," right?
Yeah, this is not Judean friendly.
No, No. So, and I think by this time too, a lot of the true Judahites were wise and getting hip to the Pharisees, that the Pharisees were hijacking their religion and distorting it, and they didn't want any part of that either. All right? And they didn't want to be blamed for the crimes of the Pharisees. So
Oh, absolutely not.
just like us, we today don't want to be associated with the Pharisaic religion called Judaism. That's
Yes,
it's an
sir.
abomination, a total abomination. Okay. All right, so I see we only have about 10 minutes left. There was a section in here where the author talks about two British theologians who
One at Cambridge and the other at
Yeah. Have you got that section in front of you?
No, I don't.
Okay, so I'm gonna
I can go there real quick.
Yeah, why don't you go there real quick? Because I want to, this is one of the more important statements in this article. Because he quotes John 7:1, after these things, Jesus walked in Galilee, for he would not walk in Jewry because the Jews sought to kill him. This is one of the verses that the Judeo churches refuse to quote because this proves that Jesus was not a Jew, right?
Correct.
He
That's
refused to
correct.
even walk among them. Why?
That's
Because
right.
that's because these Jews were not Judahites. They were merely Judeans, these polyglot Judeans. Over to you.
Okay, let me find these guys.
Oh, okay.
Let me look for the word
Yeah,
Cambridge.
Cambridge, right. Yeah, I'll continue
Yeah.
reading while you're searching. He says here the English word Jewry was translated from the Greek word Judea, which is correct, which denoted the land of Judea. It denotes a land, folks, a territory inhabited by a bunch of different people. It does
Got it.
not denote the tribe of Judah. That's the important thing here. Please go ahead.
Dr. Thomas Paris, 1762, published an extensive revision at Cambridge, while Dr. Benjamin Blaney did the same at Oxford, 1769. Blaney's redactions, not reactions, redactions,
Right.
included much modernization of spelling, punctuation, and expression, but in which the exact words of the 1611 Bible first editions are used. It is the 1769 update by Blaney that is the basis of the modern King James Bible. Also, since 1885, 14 books representing the Apocrypha were officially removed from it. These apocryphal books were included at the insistence of the king, and unlike the Rames Douai and other Roman Catholic Bibles that scattered them throughout the Old Testament, they were placed between the testaments.
Okay, so
So
King
that's
James.
when they really put the kibosh.
Right. So King James, he's saying here, actually insisted that the Apocrypha be in the King James Bible. Right? And then, but these two guys, I'm just Blaney, and what's the other guy's name? I can't find his name in this article. You just read his name.
Who, Blaney or the other
Yeah,
one?
no, Blaney, the other one. I can't.
Okay, Blaney and
The one Blaney was with Cambridge, and the other guy was with Oxford. And
yeah, I've been scrolling down and I passed
Well,
it.
let me put in Oxford, and I'll see if I can find it real quick. Okay. No, people heard you read it. You read the guy's name.
Oxford and Cambridge,
Yes.
Dr. Thomas.
Paris. There it is. Dr. Thomas Paris.
Paris,
Yeah, his
yeah.
name is on two different lines. That's why it's so hard to find. So
Paris.
Dr. Thomas Paris published an extensive revision at Cambridge, while Dr. Benjamin Blaney did the same at Oxford. That's the way it is. Okay. Dr. Paris at Cambridge and Blaney at Oxford. Those are the two guys. Okay.
Yeah.
So they're the ones responsible for creating this confusion of the two words Yehuda and Judeos, which should have remained separate and distinct because they have separate, distinct meanings. Right?
Absolutely.
That's what this author is trying to say. But, he's making good arguments, but they're not concise arguments. That's the problem. But nevertheless, he's trying very hard to explain that there's a difference between Yehud and Judea, between Judah and Judea. They cannot possibly have the same meaning, the same denotation. The target groups that these words represent are completely different. Okay?
Yeah.
With Yehud being a very precise, specific target group, namely the tribe of Judah, and Judea being a much larger group.
Well, that's their changed word, Yehud.
Right.
It's Yahud.
Mm-hmm.
Yahudah.
Okay. Yahud, yes.
It's always got the name Yah in it.
Okay, very good, very good. All right, so then with a few minutes left here, he says, consequently, any modern so-called 1611 authorized King James Version available today is not a facsimile of the original 1611 authorized version, but in fact a copy of the 1769 revision. Even those editions that may even proclaim 1611 in the frontispiece to promote sales are deceptions, for they too are simply Surely. Modern print runs of the Blaney's 1769 edition. This is very interesting. Now, but I've been aware that the removal of the Apocrypha occurred somewhere in the mid-18th century,
uh-huh.
but I never knew why. Okay, this is the best explanation I've read so far, that it was these two revisions, or at least I don't know if they were working together or separately at Oxford and Cambridge, but it's these two guys, Dr. Thomas Paris and Dr. Benjamin Blaney, who are the ones responsible for their updated, quote-unquote, updated perversion of the King James perversion, right? A perversion of an already perverted document that we have today. That's why, and they're the ones who removed the Apocrypha.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is very interesting information because people have asked me, well, who removed the Apocrypha, why, and when? So this article gives the best explanation of that development that I have ever come across.
Yeah, so, it didn't suit their agenda.
Yes, yes. Well, yeah, and the Apocrypha, we know, the good thing about that is the Apocrypha have not been tampered with as badly as the rest of the King James perversion, because they kind of ignored it, right, and got rid of it. Okay,
<Yeah.
laughs> which is, that turns out to be actually a good thing.
Well, not only have they removed the Apocrypha, but they removed a lot of the other books.
Right. Oh, yeah. Jasher. Right.
Which really explain a lot of things and absolutely upsets.
Right.
Their dogma that they've inserted.
Right. Right.
I mean, they've come up with some really strange stories that they're teaching as doctrine. What did Yeshua say? You are teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. Well, they're the commandments of men.
Right, right.
That's
absolutely
what these are. Churchianity.
Yeah. Yes. And one more thing, if we can get in real quick with just a bit more than a minute left. The Jesus Nazarenus Rex Judaeorum, what does it mean and what's wrong with that?
It means healing Zeus.
Okay. No, well, I mean that inscription, the INRI, that the Catholics are very famous.
Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Well, but because
I've never studied Latin because it has no use to me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But certainly it's what it's saying is that Jesus, the Nazarene, king of Judea, right? Well, he never wanted to be king of Judea. He only wanted to be king of Israel, right? So that inscription
is... Well, he was
the
king of Israel.
It was, exactly. But that inscription is a false representation of what he's king of, then that's what the author is trying to explain here, and he's absolutely right about that.
Yeah, okay? And I don't know what Henry means. I think that's Latin, and that's Catholic.
Yeah, well, it's just the initials. Jesus Nazarenus, yeah. Rex Iudaeorum, I-N-R-I, which I grew up with, you know, being Catholic.
Oh, boy. Well,
Catholic,
I
so. Yeah, so I should have asked myself. All right, brother. Good show. I think we solved a puzzle that's been bugging me for a long time, and this article helped explain the situation. So, folks, thanks for listening.
This is a good article.
It is.
You need to go read the whole thing.
Yes. Okay, we're out of time. All right.
Okay. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless, everybody. Thank you.
Shalom aleichem.
Bye-bye.